From Washington, D.C., across the nation and around the world, stand by for an overview of the hottest topics and people being discussed on air, online, at the coffee shop, and across the backyard fence, powered by the research of Talkers Magazine, The National Conversation. It's time for the Michael Harrison Wrap. Here's Michael Harrison.
Thank you, Victoria Jones. Monday, September 12th through Friday, September 16th, 2022, it was a week of turbulent politics on both sides of the Atlantic, turbulent weather in the Pacific, turbulent activity on the stock market, and that's just for starters. Get ready for a powerful hour of Black Belt Talk Radio, during which your tolerance for hearing different but legitimate points of view will be tested. We've got lefties, we've got righties, and we've got fence sitters. Please don't get angry. Just listen closely, and while doing so, maintain a degree of educated skepticism, regardless of whether or not you agree. Here at the Michael Harrison Wrap, we are equal opportunity offenders, united against the idiots who threaten to destroy our culture, not to mention our democracy. We'll be joined by Kevin Casey at Talkers with a countdown of the 10 biggest topics of the week. Holland Cook on Block Island on the economy. Lynn Woolley of KJCE in Austin on immigration. Dom Giordano of WPHT in Philadelphia on education. As well as Graham Mack in London on the monarchy, energy, and the Russia-Ukraine war. Influential yappers from across the country and the ocean with microphones, smartphones, and digital recording devices sharing their observations and the feelings of their target constituents with whom they do a daily dance of affirmation in a fragmented, noisy world where we try to avoid the modern-day syndrome of seeking victory at the expense of truth. Welcome to the Michael Harrison Wrap, heard coast to coast and around the world on great radio stations across the U.S. and the U.K. The past week's hottest political and social topics discussed in the American talk media. Information's gathered from a variety of sources, including data tracked by the broadcasting trade publication Talkers Magazine, of which I'm editor and publisher. Okay, let's get this show on the road. Joining us now is Kevin Casey, the executive editor of Talkers Magazine. Kevin, let's run down the 10 most talked about topics on talk shows across America this past week.
Thank you, Michael. At number 10 this week, climate change tied with the beginning of hurricane season. Heat waves, wildfires, and floods continue to mark unusual, dramatic, and extreme weather patterns around the nation and the world, all keeping the topic of climate change among the top 10 topics of the week. There was even a rare West Coast tropical storm named Kay that caused damage in California.
And now there's a storm threatening Alaska. Meteorologists have begun tracking disturbances and storms in the Atlantic that threaten the east coast of the U.S. as hurricane season begins.
At number 9, race relations tied with LGBTQ rights. Now that the kids are back in school, the ongoing argument over the teaching of critical race theory has heated up in school board meetings across the country.
Vice President Harris joined the civil rights fray on Monday with a statement it was not by accident, but probably by design, that the same sources who threatened abortion rights also work against voting rights and LGBTQ rights.
At number 8, COVID-19 tied with general health and healthcare issues. The Director General of the World Health Organization stated, last week the number of weekly reported deaths from COVID-19 was the lowest since March 2020. We have never been in a better position to end the pandemic. We're not there yet, but the end is in sight.
Meantime, U.S. health officials are keeping a watchful eye on monkeypox.
At number 7, the British monarchy and U.K. politics. Great Britain has gone through a major week of political and social upheaval as the nation mourns the death of the Queen, the ascension of a new king, and the swearing-in of a new prime minister.
All during an economic crisis involving severe inflation and an energy shortage sparked by its politics regarding the Russia-Ukraine war.
At number 6, the Russia-Ukraine war and foreign affairs. It was a week of embarrassing military setbacks for the Russians as the Ukraine army reclaimed significant stretches of territory, causing Vladimir Putin political headaches at home, perhaps causing him to become a bit more desperate and dangerous.
And meetings this week between Putin and Xi Jinping fueled doubts about the fullness of China's support of Russia in the war.
At number 5, a tie between immigration and abortion. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham introduced a bill this week that would ban abortion nationally after 15 weeks, with exceptions for rape, incest, and when the life of the mother is in danger. That put abortion rights back on the front burner of the national conversation, to the chagrin of many Republican candidates, hoping to downplay the issue before the midterms.
And the immigration issue gained heat as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis followed the lead of Texas Governor Greg Abbott by shipping illegal migrants to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
At number four, crime and violence. Not much change on this front. Urban crime and gun violence are on the rise across the nation.
And the voters are extremely disgusted with it, although many on both sides of the political divide acknowledge that the remedy is more complex than just adding more gun laws.
At number three, Trump legal issues. Attention this week turned to the appointment of a special master to scrutinize the seized documents, which throws a monkey wrench into the Department of Justice's efforts to indict former President Trump over the FBI's findings at Mar-a-Lago.
A development that might simply prove temporary, as former Attorney General William Barr stated that the special master development is nothing more than a red herring. Of course, Barr's transformation from Trump henchman to Trump critic raises all kinds of intriguing questions.
At number two, the economy, highlighted by an averted train strike. Although gas prices continue to fall, stubborn inflation remains the main concern of Americans struggling to make ends meet as the general cost of living continues at an extremely uncomfortably high level.
Meantime, a severe worsening of the crisis was averted as unions and management reached a tentative deal early Thursday, averting a freight railroad strike that threatened to cripple America's supply chains and push prices higher for many goods, a development that can be chalked up as a victory for the Biden administration's Department of Labor.
And at number one this week, politics and elections. Well, the primaries came to a conclusion this week as the Republicans now have to deal with a significant number of Trump-endorsed candidates, many overt election deniers, as they face eroding polls in the rapidly approaching general midterms.
Once considered a shoo-in for a GOP return to controlling a congressional majority, the drama of a closer race grows in the face of mainstream voter backlash against new abortion restrictions, election denial, and the ongoing revelations of alleged Trump criminal actions. This one's going to be a nail-biter for both sides. Thank you, Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine. You're plugged into the Michael Harrison Wrap. The economy remains one of the primary concerns of Americans in dealing with the challenges of everyday life. Keeping a roof over the family's head, putting food on the table, wheels on the road, clothing on our backs. Let's kick off the interview section of the show this week, speaking with one of our recurring guests and one of the smartest guys in the news talk media realm. He's a leading national programming consultant, a radio and television personality, and the curator of a popular ebook titled Inflation Hacks, Save Those Benjamins. It's a compilation of money-saving tips gathered from talk radio listeners around the country. His name is Holland Cook. What's your take on the economy this past week and inflation itself?
Well, the numbers we got earlier this week certainly are sobering. A lot of economists were saying that inflation had peaked. And then we had the stock market take a dump earlier in this week and juxtapose against James Taylor appearing with the president in the Rose Garden to celebrate the inflation-fighting pork, some say, that he has rammed through. So this is a very live issue, and it hits hard at the kitchen table. People are scraping to get by, even as gas prices come down day after day after day.
So all the positive talk, or the good news that we've been touching upon over the last month or so, really is outweighed by the bigger picture.
To a degree, what I have been very encouraged by as I'm gathering all these inflation hacks tips from talk radio listeners is how we rise to the challenge. Remember, for about 5 minutes after 9/11, we were all Americans. Mm-hmm. And for about 5 minutes when the pandemic shutdown first struck, how you'd see in New York City at 7 o'clock, they were all out on the balcony clanging pots and pans, and somebody with a saxophone played the national anthem, and we were all on the same page. And what has been a pleasant surprise for me conducting this conversation is that it's not just an argument, and lots of what we hear on talk radio and see on cable news is a big blame game, but I am impressed by how ingenious Americans are at shopping smarter and spotting deals for however long this does go on.
Have you been surprised by anything that you uncovered?
How creative the suggestions are, and people are sharing their ideas. andyoucanquoteme.com is the blog where I'm posting some of these suggestions. And somebody named Sarah writes, I've discovered that around 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, my local grocery store marks down food that's close to expiring. I stock up for the week on whatever meats, bread, veggies they have on clearance, and it's so helpful. And some of that stuff is tick-tock, you know, on deadline. She'll just throw it in the freezer. So people are thinking this through and doing what they have to and certainly making tough choices.
What have you done in your life cut back on costs?
Well, I'm walking the walk. I've been paying $107 for AT&T Wireless, and that was fine when I was traveling as much as consultants do pre-pandemic, because the coverage is great everywhere else. But I live in the smallest town in the smallest state in the USA, and it's terrible here. And instead of paying them $107, I just signed up for Mint Mobile, and it's going to be $25 for all I can eat. And I've been a real happy camper since 1997 with DirecTV. That's $197. I got three receivers. I have no HBOs. I love the features. Their customer service has been great. But I've tried out YouTube TV, and I'm going down to $65. I'm sad that I'll be losing everything I've squirreled away on my DirecTV DVR. But going forward, what sold me on YouTube TV is they got the local channels and they have unlimited DVR in the cloud and you can use it on every device. So not only are we getting by, but in the process, we're actually kind of expanding our options simply by shopping smarter the way that inflation has forced us to.
And I just want to mention, you know, full disclosure and disclaimer here that you're doing this mention here as a consumer advocate, and you're not in any way on the payroll or have a sponsorship with these companies that you've just plugged, right?
Nor am I a stockholder.
Yeah, I got to mention that, you know, because there's so many scams out there and so many.
Well, there sure are. And, you know, we may have passed a milestone in this past week, because the other big inflation story, in addition to the sad numbers that came out earlier in the week, Merriam-Webster Dictionary has unveiled a list of new words that go in the dictionary. They are so common in our conversation these days that they are now deemed words. And one of those words is shrinkflation. It's not your imagination. Same price, smaller package. And Forbes magazine actually did some testing. There are five fewer chips in a bag of Doritos. In a bottle of Advil, used to be 100, now there's 90. So it's challenging.
That's part of the general culture that we're in today. I mean, this is a bit of a departure from the inflation discussion, but everything relates to the society at large. Don't you just get the feeling that everybody's out to get you? I certainly don't like to be a merchant of paranoia, but there just seems to be scams everywhere. I mean, that when you think about it, there's something inherently dishonest or at least bad will on the part of these companies to shrinkflate and not say this bag contains five less chips. I mean, there's something disingenuous about it, you know, at best, and immoral about it, you know, at worst. What do you think?
Every time you have Steve Weisman on, I start deleting apps from my phone, and we've learned not to click on anything that comes from an email that you don't know about. But I am encouraged by how people will rise to the occasion at times like this. And I sound my age when I say things like, things have a way of working out.
Hmm. What Steve Weisman says is, things are not as bad as they seem. They're worse.
They're worse. And Steve also says, trust me, you can't trust anyone.
Now, let's just go back to something you said at the beginning. You were talking about the president, Joe Biden, having a party in the Rose Garden or at the White House on the day the market is tanking. It's very dangerous for presidents to ever do anything where they look like they're having a good time.
Yeah, there's a split screen effect that is not a good look. But the contrarians among us might have thought that day when the stock market took a hit was a buying opportunity. and the beat goes on.
That's media consultant Holland Cook. His ebook is titled Inflation Hacks, Save Those Benjamins, and you can learn all about it at the website andyoucanquoteme.com. That's andyoucanquoteme.com. Coming up next, a visit to Texas and a discussion about immigration with our friend Lynn Woolley. You're plugged in to the Michael Harrison Wrap. Do you sometimes get the feeling that our society is being overrun by idiots? Do all the stupid, dumb things people say and do make you crazy, 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 crazy? If so, the new song and video by Gun Hill Road is for you.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Tries me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
It's called Idiots. Check out the video. It's free. Idiotsvideo.com. That's idiotsvideo.com. That's idiotsvideo.com. Continuing now with the Michael Harrison Wrap. Immigration remains a pressing and compelling topic in the national conversation, highlighted this week by Texas Governor Greg Abbott busing migrants to New York, Washington, D.C., and Chicago, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis airlifting immigrants to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. Joining us now is Lynn Woolley, who co-hosts The Morning Show with Jim Cardle on radio station KJCE in Austin, Texas. What is your take on, and what is the view in your region about the ongoing immigration crisis?
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at that. If you're down on the border, if you're in McAllen, if you're in Laredo, in your Harlingen, San Benito, down in that area, you want some border crossing because the people in Mexico in those border towns come across the border. They shop at the malls. They eat at the restaurants. They buy clothes. They get services done. And then they typically go back. So what we would like to see is some kind of a coordinated immigration system where people along the border can do business on both sides of the border with both Americans and Mexicans, and everybody lives in harmony. But right now, it is so out of control. We're finding bodies constantly out in the fields, on the farms, at the bottom of the Rio Grande, you name it. And it's become a tragedy, not only for Texas, and I'm sure New Mexico and Arizona as well, but also for the people that are trying to sneak in here. They're losing their lives more than they ever have in our history.
Is the nature of your city's liberalism compared to the rest of the state, does that play a role in how the residents of the region feel about immigration?
Well, I think it does to a certain extent. You have to understand that Texas, with a population of, I think it's approaching 30 million now, and we've got five large metros, or four if you count Dallas and Fort Worth as the same. Of the five large cities, it's not just Austin that's left wing. So is Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. And Fort Worth is kind of purple. So yes, all the big urban areas, and keep in mind, we have two metro areas that will probably go ahead of Chicago within the next decade. They're all fairly well left wing. And then you have the suburbs that surround all the cities that are not, and all the rural areas. We're pretty much a Trump country while the cities were Biden country. So, yes, it is a dual state, and the left thinks that at any moment they're going to flip it, and Texas will go completely blue and go completely Democrat, and so far that hasn't happened. But it does make a bifurcated system here. We have a lot of people that like the open borders. There's a lot of Joe Biden supporters, especially in Austin. I would say 70% of the electorate here at least would have voted for Joe Biden. But the leadership of our state is 100% at the state level conservative, or at least Republican. And so there's a lot of gnashing of teeth, especially in a town like Austin, as to which way we should go.
What are your thoughts about Greg Abbott's initiative to bus hundreds, maybe more, immigrants to New York City and I think Washington, D.C.?
Well, yes, and now Chicago. So you've got those three mayors up there, Muriel Bowser, Eric Adams, and Lori Lightfoot, and they're all screaming bloody murder over us, sending a few dozen or a few hundred even illegal immigrants their way. Texas would love to have that few. You ask what my thought on it is personally.
Yes.
When we started this, when Greg Abbott started this, my partner, Jim Cardle on the radio, who is a big Abbott supporter, and I'm one of those people that I like a politician when I like him, and I don't like a politician when I don't like him. And it just depends on what he does. Mm-hmm. So Jim was very, very much in favor of this. He said, this is going to teach them a lesson. This is going to show them what it's like in a state where you can't control the border. And I said, yeah, but on the other hand, here's Joe Biden in the middle of the night. He's got several sites around the state where he's taking these immigrants, putting them on airplanes, and sending them to places like New York and Washington and Chicago. So aren't we playing right into Joe Biden's hands? Because this is where the immigrants want to go anyway. I think we're both right. I think I'm right that what Abbott is doing ultimately will benefit the illegal immigrants and allow them to stay in the country longer because they're going to sanctuary areas. But in the short term, I think Jim is right. I think we have, or Abbott has, shown these mayors what it's like. Governor Pritzker in Illinois, in fact, just declared an emergency disaster over a few hundred foreign nationals being bussed in from Texas.
Yeah, I mean, in the short term, I get the impression that Abbott's purpose is to just basically send a signal. He's doing it for demonstration purposes. I don't think he's seeing it as a method of alleviating the crush of the so many immigrants, you know, that have come across illegally. I think it's more of a symbol and to bring attention. Yeah, some people like you and I on a national forum like this are talking about it. So, I mean, that makes sense to me. Am I right?
Absolutely. Look, Texas isn't supposed to have to do this. We've spent billions of our own tax dollars. Unfortunately, as a conservative state, mm-hmm. we have a surplus this year, and it's a good thing, because we've spent billions of dollars doing it, but our hands are tied as a state as to what we can actually do. Abbott can't bus them back to Mexico. And that's only something that Biden can do, and Biden isn't going to do it. And as Vice President Kamala Harris and Karine Jean-Pierre, which I think is the best pirate name I've heard in a long time, both are telling us that the border is secure. It's do you believe them or do you believe all the video that comes from the networks that bother to go down there?
Seeing
but
is believing.
I think it's a stunt, but I think the stunt has made his point.
That's Lynn Woolley, who along with Jim Cardle co-hosts the morning show at KJCE in Austin, Texas. You're plugged into the Michael Harrison Rap. As many of you know, in addition to being the publisher of Talkers Magazine, I'm a member of the rock band Gun Hill Road and lead singer on the group's latest single titled Idiots, which takes a shot at the widespread ignorance on both the left and the right, as well as the middle, and it threatens American democracy. I've been doing talk radio interviews all over the country this past few weeks, talking about the song and the concept behind it, and it's been getting thousands of views on YouTube. Here's a clip of my appearance this past week on WPHT in Philadelphia, hosted by one of America's leading talk radio experts on and advocates for education, Dom Giordano.
What was the moment of inspiration for Idiots, if there was just one moment?
Well, there was no one moment. I've often wondered what the best word to use when describing people who are ignorant. Ignorant is a good word. Stupid is an insulting word. Dumb is kind of a politically incorrect word. And I did a tremendous amount of research. I launched a study on it, an investigation. And the results of our committee and our investigation came up with the word idiots is probably used more to describe, you know, in a defamatory way, the lower level of intelligence and thinking in America. They go, idiots. Oh, what an idiot. I'm serious. I'm kidding about, of course, what we did to find that out. But you'll find the word idiot is the one that is most used in the vernacular. And idiocy, which is a variant on the word idiots, I believe is one of the biggest threats to our democracy today.
And Dunhill Road, you've done several things with them. So how did that work?
Dunhill Road is a group that goes all the way back to the 60s. Great guys, really good fellows, Steve Goldrich, Paul Reich, and Brian Coonan. They're established musicians and obviously grown men. I used to play that group back in the early 70s when I was a big-time FM album rock jock on WNEW-FM in New York, a pioneer in that genre. And we've continued to know each other over the years, and they continue to make records over the years. Last year, they invited me. I came up with an idea for a song to actually join the group.
How does talk radio play into this? Are we the... As some of the media would say, the agents of this idiocy.
No, the opposite. In my opinion, people that listen to talk radio are among the smartest people in the country, as are people who follow the news, read newspapers, watch television news, and of course, listen to talk radio and engage in conversations about these things with their friends and are basically aware. You were saying something interesting. You were referring to idiots that are elected as if they are the idiots that we're poking the finger at in this. Actually, we're poking the finger at the idiots that elect these people.
That's true.
I think politics stems from the culture. And when you have a culture of idiocy, then you get the kind of government you deserve. I think that a lot of these politicians act like idiots, but they're not really idiots. They are taking advantage of the fact that they believe the voters are idiots, and in many cases, they're correct. The media, in many cases, also treats the voters like they are idiots. The people that are listening to this program, I mean, there may be a few idiots out there. I'm sure there are. However, and they're the ones that'll get angry. But other than that, most of the people, if you're listening to this show right now and you're saying, yeah, wherever I go, there are idiots, then you are not an idiot. And I don't believe this song is for you. But, you know, people vote mindlessly. One of the reasons people vote, I like what he says, or I like her, or he's a good-looking guy. I mean, the most ridiculous reasons, because they can't talk policy, and then the politicians don't talk policy, and they appeal to emotion. One other quick thing before your next question is that this is not a partisan song. This is an equal opportunity offender. There are idiots on the left, and there are idiots on the right, and frankly, the people on the left and the right who have half a brain are embarrassed by the idiots in their number.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. So solutions to this, because this is a massive problem, even though we have a lot of people that do pay attention, are sincere with this. We have others that are not. Is it the public education system? What is it that's more of a solution to it?
I think the number one solution, you just hit it on the head, is public education. We have to revamp our educational system. Before that, though, we have to realize there are no quick solutions. There are no cosmetic instant answers that appeal to your base, whatever your base may be, your target audience or your target voters. You got to be able to have the courage to say the truth, tough love, and rebuild the problems in the amount of time it takes to do it right. We have to start with education. We have to teach our children how to engage in critical thinking, not how to walk around with righteous indignation that they're being offended by something. We have a whole generation of young people walking around looking for something to be offended by.
Michael, that's the biggest thing on college campus, cancel culture, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And talkers every year gives at least up until recently, the First Amendment Award, and sometimes mm-hmm. there are people that are on the left, sometimes on the right, and the one thing they have in common, somebody's come after them because they've had a public platform and they've expressed something that cancel culture doesn't like.
Yeah, well, you said up until recently. No, we still give do. The First Amendment. Yeah, the Freedom of Speech Award. As a matter of fact, the last one we gave this past June was to somebody who's on neither the right nor the left. He's in jail. So Ian Freeman okay. is the one who received it. He's in partnership with Mark Edge. But Mark said, no, Ian should get it because Ian's in jail and Mark isn't. And it has to do with things they've said about the FBI and their involvement with cryptocurrency. But without going down that rabbit hole, the point is well taken that we support the First Amendment at Talkers, and anybody who is having their First Amendment rights abridged or being treated unfairly by pressure groups and things of that nature, we go to their defense, even if we don't agree
exactly.
with their policies.
Now, you were also, of course, as one of the real pioneers of promoting talk radio back in the dark ages of it, all the way to where it is today. You were interviewed by Sunday Morning, as I was. There we go. And we had a lot of people. What the heck happened? And the Queen bumped us. I got bumped at a speaking event by a woman fainting on Saturday night. Then the Queen the next day. So, but this presentation, it took a lot of time. They really interview a long period of time. When do you have a sense CBS Sunday Morning might play it?
My impression is they're going to run it a week before Election Day. And my impression was, and I don't want to jump the gun because I haven't seen what they've done. But any time that I go into an interview representing talk radio put on by what we call the mainstream media, in this case, CBS Television News, is certainly, you know, the mainstream media. Although I don't like that term and don't think it applies as much anymore, we'll use it just for the sake of convenience. I always do so with a degree of hesitation that they're going to try to get me to attack conservative media, because the mainstream media doesn't realize it really is liberal media. There are still a lot of people who just don't understand that the spectrum of legitimate thought in America, legitimate political thought, goes further to the right than they realize. They think a lot of people who are left of center think they are the center and that anything right of them is radical. A lot of times people on each side think they have a monopoly on truth and they don't. So I always go into these things hesitantly.
That's yours truly appearing earlier this week on the Dom Giordano Show on WPHT Philadelphia, talking about the new Gun Hill Road song, Idiots. You can see the video at idiotsvideo.com, and I'll play the song for you in its entirety at the end of today's show, about 12 minutes from now. You're plugged in to the Michael Harrison Rap.
This report is brought to you by Genesis 2 Project, G2P. Recently, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the ODNI, released a preliminary report on possible threats posed by UFOs, now known as Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, UAP, and the progress the Department of Defense UAP Task Force has made in understanding any threats. Dr. J.C. Van Valkenburg is a former Los Alamos National Lab biophysicist who has been working with G2P to bring scientifically sound UAP data to the public.
G2P has released the first scientifically authenticated documentation of UAPs, including images captured with infrared technology. Primo Forensics performed the digital forensic analysis.
In tandem with the ODNI report, these data support the development of relevant processes, policies, technologies, and training for the U.S. military and government personnel upon encountering UAP. Visit Genesis2Project.com.
Continuing now with the Michael Harrison Wrap as we discuss the hottest topics of the past week in the national conversation. This program has a ton of listeners in the UK as it's carried on the podcast radio network in London and across the nation. No doubt between the changing of the guard in both 10 Downing and Buckingham Palace and the looming energy crisis, Great Britain is in the news all around the globe. We caught up with award-winning British broadcaster Graham Mack in London. What's your take?
Okay, well, if we start in the order that they occurred, the first thing that happened was the energy crisis, which is what the media are calling it now. Since the war in Ukraine, the price of wholesale gas, not gasoline, you know, gas for cooking and heating in homes, has gone through the roof. And they were predicting that this winter, whereas the average family is spending around £1,500 a year heating their home, that figure would rise to £8,500. So that was one of the first things that the new prime minister did when she got into power, because Boris, the old prime minister, we had a zombie government for a while there. He was still the prime minister, but he had no power because there was a vote of no confidence against him saying he should be kicked out as the new prime minister. And so till the transition, he couldn't do anything, although he had meetings with the energy companies, who, by the way, have made record profits. So anyway, when she came in, she's brought in this cap, and I'm not exactly how it works, but what she's pitching is that no one will pay, or we won't be paying, more than £2,500 for energy, which is it's a big jump from what it was, but it's nowhere near the £8,500 that they were threatening it would cost. She's under a bit of pressure over that because she hasn't said where she's going to get this money from to pay for this reduction. She's not going to put a windfall tax on the energy companies. So it looks like, you know, hardworking stiffs are going to have to pay for it anyway, just through higher taxes somehow. Although she has ruled out higher taxes. So it's still a bit of a mystery. Oh. Well, she'd only been in power a couple of days when the news came through that the Queen had died. And that has turned the country upside down. And it's bizarre at the moment because you watch the TV, the non-stop rolling news of the death of the Queen, and there isn't that much to say. She's still dead, apart from all the events and the, you know, the things leading up to the funeral. But they are really just running on fumes. You know, they're talking to tourists outside Buckingham Palace and various places. You know, what does the Queen mean to you? And I have to say, I'm not a monarchist, as you know. And so to me, a lot of it just seems like they're just milking it because goes on day to day. Life has not really changed. If you were a big fan of the monarchy and the Queen meant a lot to you, I'm sure you're very upset. And and there's no denying it's a historic time for the country. The head of state has died and the head of state has changed within a few days. You know, the Queen is on all our money and on our postage stamps and her initials are on every post box. You know, we have the Royal Mail and, you know, so it's very bizarre because on the TV, it's like they're saying the nation is in mourning, and officially we're in an official mourning period until the day after the funeral, which is not till Monday. But in actual fact, I haven't bumped into anybody that's even mentioned it to me.
It's clearly somewhat of a media hype. And you and I have talked many times about the impact of the monarchy upon the culture and the feelings in Great Britain. But the truth of the matter is she's head of state, but not the same kind of a head of state as the prime minister would be in terms of where the rubber meets the road and policy is made and things happen. And, you know, with all due respect to her, she's lived a very full life, and it's not like, you know, she died at 40 or was felled unexpectedly.
Or in a tragedy like Diana, you know,
exactly.
That was a tragic event.
Exactly. Yeah. So where does it put Republicans at this point? Does it make it politically incorrect, at least for the time being, to be a Republican? And for those listening across America and in the UK, for the Americans listening, Republican in the British sense means that you are not a big fan of the monarchy, that you want to be a republic as opposed to a monarchy. So it means it's anti-monarchy. So and there is that movement there. You have I've described you as that. I don't know if you have, as a Republican.
Oh, I would happily be called a Republican. Yes. Yeah.
OK, so I understand that it's difficult right now for Republicans.
Yes. Well, right now, I have not said a word on my social media about it. I'm staying out of it because the people that do, particularly on Twitter, suddenly there's a pile on. You know, so to mention that, you know, it's bad enough that we don't have an elected prime minister right now. She was, you know, Boris, we didn't have an election. Boris was kicked out because the parliament had no confidence in him. She was brought up as the new leader of the Conservative Party, his party, and now she's a prime minister. So we have an unelected prime minister. We have a new unelected head of state in King Charles III. Taking over from the previously unelected head of state, Queen Elizabeth II. We also have an unelected upper house in the Houses of Parliament, our version of the Senate, the House of Lords. None of those are elected either. So, and the thing that bothers me about that the most is that it's okay, there are countries like that that are monarchies, absolute monarchies, and they run that way. But Britain tends to brag and pride itself on being this amazing democracy, and it clearly isn't. And you don't have the freedom of speech in protection from a constitution like you do in the United States. So, for instance, there have been some incidents this week, not widely reported, but they are being reported. Like, for instance, when the proclamation of the new king was read out in Oxford, a bloke called Simon Hill shouted, "Who elected him?" and was promptly arrested in the street for saying, "Who elected him?" Then outside Buckingham Palace, a day later, a lady held up a card that said, "Not my king." And the police surrounded her and moved her on. In reaction to that event, a lawyer called Paul Pausland, he held up a blank card in Parliament Square. There was nothing written on it. It was blank. So the police show up, and this is all on YouTube and Twitter and everything. You can see it. The police show up and said, "What are you going to write on that card?" He said, "I'm going to write 'Not my king.'" The police said, "If you do that, we will arrest you." And
that's
then, but there have been other arrests in Edinburgh. Prince Andrew is walking behind the Queen's coffin in the parade with the other royals. And a 22-year-old man shouted, "You sick old man," in, you know, because of the allegations of, you know, after his close friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and him paying off Virginia Giuffre and all the rest of that. So this bloke shouts out, "You sick old man." He was arrested and charged with a breach of the peace and will appear in court. So it doesn't, if you're a Republican or have some views on this, or if you have a problem with a bloke who was accused of what Prince Andrew was accused of course he denies it and he was never found guilty, but if you've got someone like him who was bailed out by his mother with taxpayers' money, she paid about £10 million or whatever it is, we don't even know what the real figure was, to shut up Virginia Giuffre, when the bloke that calls that out is the bloke that is literally handcuffed and arrested. You know, what kind of country are we living in? It was inappropriate. I mean, the guy's walking behind his mother's coffin, for goodness sake. So it was not the right time. But to answer your question, now is not the time to say anything anti-monarchy. And Michael, if you were ringing from a British radio station, I wouldn't even talk to you. Because in America, I know there's the protection of freedom of speech and there won't be as many British people hear this. I wouldn't say any of this. To you, if you were at BBC or independent radio in this country.
Well,
I wouldn't even bother.
What about podcast radio, which carries our show?
Oh, well, hello, London, and good evening. I'll see you in the tower.
I don't want to get you in trouble with your country.
No, it's fine, Michael. That's fine.
This is terrifying. It's terrifying. It really is the state of democracy around the world. And your report to me is just absolutely startling. And I'm without words. I'm just going to let it ring through the minds of our listeners. Let me ask you one more quick question that's a little less startling, although certainly important. The connection to the Russian-Ukraine war of the economy per the energy crisis.
Yeah.
I understand that the new prime minister is she's kind of hawkish. Is there going to be less support, do you think, for the support of Ukraine as a result of this in the UK?
I don't think that. I'm not feeling that at all, because I think Russia is a far bigger enemy and has been a bit of a pain in the neck for a long time. And a lot of people do think that what Russia, well, most people think what Russia did there was out of order, and that we should support Ukraine in as far as we can go without actually, you know, poking that bear of Russia, because they have got nuclear weapons pointed at us just like they've got them pointed at you. And yeah, I think people are still supporting the war in Ukraine. I don't think even this has turned people against Ukraine or Britain's support for what's going on there.
That's award-winning broadcaster Graham Mack in London. You're plugged into the Michael Harrison Wrap. And now, before we leave, as promised, we're going to play the audio version of my latest song with the rock band Gun Hill Road, guaranteed to make you crazy. Idiots.
Thinking's on a holiday for many folks every day. Spewing words of fear and hate makes our culture second rate. Let's start out with easy stuff, then the stuff that's far more tough. Here at home and overseas, ignorance is the real disease.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Tries me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
They cherry pick and reaffirm half-baked dumb ideas. Agree with almost anything that feeds their hate and fears. Always blaming others for their own damn lack of vision. They buy the crap that sold them from the merchants of division.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
A fool will always be a fool, left, right, blue, or red. It pays to have an open mind, but not an empty head. Life is full of mysteries, don't mean to sound aloof. But knuckleheads seek victory at the expense of truth.
Idiots walk among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Among us.
They're lazy, lazy, lazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Their speech is often hazy.
Idiots talk among us.
Never ceases to amaze me.
Idiots talk among us.
Drives me crazy, crazy, crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
The truth is not a mystery, if only you know history.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
That's Gun Hill Road featuring yours truly on lead vocals with the song Idiots, a bona fide talk radio hit song. How's that for an oxymoron? Check out the provocative video on YouTube at idiotsvideo.com. And that about does it for this latest installment of the Michael Harrison Wrap, an overview of the national conversation, looking back at the week of Monday, September 12th through Friday, September 16th, 2022. Looking ahead, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week, including the ever-lurking unknown factor, that unanticipated surprise story that can take the national conversation spinning off in a totally unexpected direction. We sure do live in interesting times. I can be reached via email at michael@talkers.com. My podcast, The Michael Harrison Interview, can be heard at mhinterview.com. And if you want to stay in touch with the inner workings of the talk media industry, please visit talkers.com. And don't forget my song Idiots with Gun Hill Road at idiotsvideo.com. The Michael Harrison Wrap. Our producer is Matthew B. Harrison. Thank you for listening.
The Michael Harrison Rap is a production of Good Phone Communications, presented in association with Talk Media Network and Talkers Magazine. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.